And you are listening to WMNF Tampa, Sarasota Clearwater Community Conscious Radio. Hi, I'm Mary Glennie.
And I'm Arlene Engelhardt. And you are listening to From a Woman's Point of View. A happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. We hope you're wearing your masks and keeping your safe distance and keeping in.
And Arlene, I think that we can take our masks off.
I'm sorry. And wearing your masks and keeping a safe distance and keeping it to small groups. And I do hope you're not traveling very far.
Well, I'm hoping that most of you listening are spending a very safe, healthy holiday. And I know how much, I imagine so many of you out there are, perhaps you're not, but maybe you are missing being up since 3 or 4 a.m. putting on that turkey and basting it and worrying to death that it was going to be way too dry or not done or whatever, or all about the stuffing. Is it in? Is it out? You know, all the kind of stuff that really makes Thanksgiving week for an awful lot of women, particularly, and being essentially, this is the women's show, a very fatiguing time. You know, all the things you have to prepare for to make a really a holiday feast is really quite an endeavor. I quite understand that. I remember my mother. I remember the list. And luckily, I'm a really not very good cook at all. And so my jobs were, you know, cutting, chopping, mincing, doing dishes, you know, all those kind of sidebars. But I know the kind of work. And so take this day off. And, you know, number one, be thankful you're alive. I'm serious. COVID is no joke. And also, if any of you have lost members, I am so sorry. You know, that I remember actually, because both my mother and father came from very big families. And so Thanksgiving was a big deal. One, my mother's 1 year, my father's the next year. And, you know, there were always about 20 people there. I mean, that's big families, you know, Catholic families, 10 kids. And there was always a plate that was set for, because there was always somebody that would be in a service or was traveling or just couldn't make it or perhaps had passed. And so there was always an empty plate at that table. And I know for some of you out there, there is an empty plate. And I hope it's only one plate at your table. And we all know why. And so for those of you, I'm very sorry for your loss. It's a loss for all of us. But I also want to call in a very important member of our team that, you know, here at WMNF, it is family. And I think particularly during this COVID crisis, I think the efforts that everybody involved with producing stuff on air for WMNF really came into play. And whether you prepared your shows from a distance or the extreme efforts to keep this place safe, and Rick and the staff have done a fabulous job of keeping this place safe as absolutely possible. It is a big thank you to all of them, but also all of you, the listeners. And many people don't realize the people behind the scenes here, and a very important group, actually, and a very important part, actually, of the women's show is Bill Grace. And so, Bill, I want you to get on the microphone there, because I really want to thank you, because here it's a holiday. You've come in to help us out. And, you know, that work you and so many of your colleagues do, because you're behind the scenes. You answer those phones. Mm-hmm. You make sure that for call-ins, et cetera. And I just want you to know, many times I said, Bill, what do I do now? You know, I've got to get this on or it won't go. And he says, oh, we're just on the wrong side, et cetera. And so Bill very calmly has kept this thing going very smoothly. And particularly on this holiday, I want to thank you and Jennifer and all the other unsung heroes that are really around here.
Appreciate that very much.
Because this is a day of Thanksgiving. And it's not only for feasting, but for thanking the people who are so important to our lives. And so Bill Grace, you are a very important part of the women's show. I'm
Thank
not
you.
Sure we could be doing it without you. And at the same time,
it's all smoke and mirrors.
No, it's not. And also, at the same time, I want to thank Patty Perkey, because without Patty Perkey, I'm not sure we could have kept the show going all the 6 months that we were not in the air studio. And also Stephen Jay, he might be listening. He tends to listen online for his recording. All of that went into play. And on this kind of a day, I think it's the right day to say thanks.
And well, thank you. Bill and thanks Grace, to all of our listeners and the whole team that helps the studio stay on the air.
Yeah,
you got a great group of people here.
Yeah, I think we do. We're really lucky. And we're most lucky because of the listeners out there, all of you listening.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. You are the team. So thanks so much, Bill. You are appreciated. And if you're watching Macy's Parade, hey, come on. You can also have your radio on at the same time. So anyway, Arlene, did you have something to say?
Well, I was actually going to say about the same thing, so we'll leave it at that. But I do say thank you to all of the people that you mentioned, and also to the staff of WMNF for keeping us on the air during these difficult months, and then to all of you, the listeners, for making that possible. And we appreciate the fact that you have done your part by contributing and by listening. Now it's even easier to donate your vehicle to WMNF. Just go to WMNFcar.org to see how you can support the station by giving us an unwanted car, boat, or motorcycle. And thanks.
You'd be surprised. That clunker probably has a lot more clunks in it that somebody can take use of. And Bill, I'm going to bring you back a minute because this is a very different Thanksgiving for most of us. And tell me, ordinarily, how would you be celebrating Thanksgiving?
Well, probably like millions of other people here, just doing it with family, getting together. A lot of times it's at our house, my wife doing good deal of the cooking as she's doing now. The upside of this is that we don't have to do as much house cleaning, so
that's the
there's
truth.
That.
Yeah, that's true. And with a big turkey, was it the big deal?
Usually, 12, 14-pound turkey and maybe about 10, 15 people, something like that. 10 people, roughly, maybe.
And tell me, other than the feasting, what do you most miss about that kind of gathering? Is it the crazy Uncle Bill or Tony or whoever who is always going to talk politics? Because let's face it, it's November. There's usually an election of some kind early in November.
Yeah.
So, of course, politics are going to be on people's minds. Would it be those discussions or what do you miss most?
Just the gathering, because these are people that we only see maybe at this time of year.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's for Thanksgiving, maybe there'll be some overlap of the people we'll see for a Christmas gathering, but that's more close family people we do that with. But the Thanksgiving, there are some people that I've known since would have been early 60s.
Yeah.
Went to elementary school with. So people that we're really glad to get together with and hoist a cup of joy and... But,
right.
That's probably more than anything. We don't have any, we've kind of weeded out, I guess, all of the colorful, polemic kind of people, so.
So it is. It is that kind of a day. So in spirit, we will be remembering all of them. And
yes.
However you want to do it, they're with you in spirit. And so, okay, I was just wondering. And so.
Well, thanks for asking.
We're going to have kind of a. I'm going to be bringing very shortly Arnie Arneson's into the conversation. Arnie has agreed to, because we both decided that actually this is not an ordinary Thanksgiving. This is not an ordinary time, let's face it. But it's going to be a very new time. And I'm really excited about it. But of course it has trepidation. And again, we're thinking of the people we've lost. And I think even more sorrowfully, we're thinking of the lack of leadership that some of those perhaps did not have to die. And if we had had some coordination, but hopefully with all the votes and everybody out there, that will change. Arlene?
Well, I was just going to say that, very similar to both of you, and I remember when I was quite young, we had three different families out of my mother's family that we always got together with for Thanksgiving, and we rotated households. And the year that President Kennedy had been killed, we went to my aunt and uncles and five cousins, and I was completely shocked when I guess I thought they were maybe more conservative or something, but when I walked in, they had a big picture of Jack and Jackie on their wall. Beautiful portrait. And I was both moved and surprised. And it was, it turned out to be a Thanksgiving of learning what we all stood for to some degree. Well, this, I also want to say
that's an important point, Arlene. This is that kind of a time. You know, I mean, luckily it's not with that kind of a tragedy quite. But, you know, this country has to have a new beginning.
Yes, and it definitely is a tragedy when we've lost 270,000 people. I mean, that's incredible.
Absolutely.
And so the First Amendment Foundation presents a virtual event exposing Epstein's evils, an evening with Julie K. Brown and Emily Michaud. The reporter and photojournalist will discuss how they uncovered the Jeffrey Epstein story, shining a light on the international extent of his crimes and giving a voice to dozens of victims who had been denied justice. It's December 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Tickets at floridafaf.com.
Oh, that is major. The Epstein scandal, that is so dark and so deep and so distorted. We haven't even talked about it much in the show because the depravity is so awful, so totally, completely awful. And the individuals involved in it, just in the ones that got exposed before Epstein supposedly committed suicide, but frankly, one way or another, with the kind of names that were floating out, I don't think he had long to live on this earth one way or the other. And I have to wonder, does Maxwell, whatever her name is, Jocelyn Maxwell, have the little black book, the names in that little black book? Oh, my. And the young girls, so many of them were 14, 15, 16 years of age, whose lives were absolutely shattered. I mean, that is a depravity that kind of stands alone with all the depravity we've had in these last 3 years. And that's been going on for years. And I don't know. I mean, maybe there's just a whole different strata of behavior in the uber, uber, uber rich, the uber, uber powerful. Perhaps slavery or owning someone is not enough. I mean, I haven't been able to go there because it's just, but that is important. And so I really have to put that on my calendar because I want to know how they're dealing with it because it is so painfully difficult. It's been hard for me to figure out how to deal with it. But anyway, but this is a festive day. We don't want to talk about Epstein because he is the worst. So and as I said, we're going to have Arnie Arneson coming on shortly. In fact, she probably wonders what's happened to me. But I'm going to put this music on. And, you know, many times on Thanksgiving, we used to do a Native American show. And I really miss playing particularly some of the great music of women, Native American women, because Native American women are so noted for their song and their dance. They dance around the drum and they always dance in a circle and they always go counterclockwise, the rhythm of the earth. And that when they do that, they are honoring not only, you know, the grandmothers and the women and the bearers of the language and the history and the culture, but as well, they are honoring Mother Earth. And so with that in mind, I'm going to play this song by one of my favorite Native American women, Joanne Shenandoah, and it's Matriarch. And then we will come back with Arnie Arneson.
Wani Gayuwe, Gayu Wani Gayuwe, Wehiyo, Hawi Hawi Ne Gai Nawiya Heya. Gayu Wani Gayuwe, Gayu Wani Gayuwe, Wehiyo, Hawi Hawi Ne Gai Nawiya Heya. Kayu wani kayu we
And that again was Joanne Shenandoah, and it was Matriarch. And so, but with us on the phone, I am so excited because I thought on this kind of special Thanksgiving show, and this is not like any ordinary Thanksgiving show, not like any ordinary day, really. I have one of my favorite guests, Arnie Arneson, yes, the infamous attitude, the woman with the toot on WNHN in New Hampshire. She is a treasure. She does a daily radio show. I don't know quite how you do that, Arnie. And I know that you said today you weren't going to do your show, but I thought, I can't believe that. And as usual, you're doing it. And her background is so extensive in politics in just about every way, not just only New Hampshire, but understanding what's happening nationally and internationally. She's a lawyer. She's been involved with Harvard teaching international students. Arnie Arneson is truly the real deal. So on this special Thanksgiving show, Arnie Arneson, welcome back to the show.
I wish my mother were alive. She could hear that introduction. I'm listening to this as that, you know, my mother made me take stenography and typing and wanted me to marry a lawyer, not go to law school, you know. That was her dream for me. And it's just, as I listen to this, I just sit there going, huh, maybe I'm an overachiever.
Yes, I think most people that know you would say that in every way. And so I wasn't quite going to get into politics right away. But actually, I want to cue up some music that I have actually specially. Because, you know, as I told you, I guess you wouldn't have known. I many times did Native American special shows on Thanksgiving and Native American women. And you have just had a very momentous happening in your life, other than, of course, all your political and all your shows and all of that, but you are a grandmother, and is her name Kina Margaret?
Her name is, well, this is her English name. Her English name is Kina Margaret.
Okay.
Her Chinese name is Gong Mei Jin.
Ooh, that's lovely.
And Gong is the family name for her husband. Mei is a winter flower. And Jin is named after a fabulous feminist and poet in China who I think was beheaded. only my daughter would take this combination and make it. And the lovely thing about Kina Margaret is that my Norwegian grandmother was named Margaret Hansen Arneson. And she is the one I think I've told you about. She had my father. She was an only child, my father Robert. And the doctor told her that she could never have another baby because she would die in childbirth. And she is the one that had an illegal abortion and shared that story of the illegal abortion with me. And she never had another kid, but I was her first grandchild, and I was a little girl, and the baby that was aborted was a little girl, and my daughter has a little girl, and that little girl is named after my grandmother, Margaret.
Oh, wow. That's...
Life
is amazing, isn't it? I mean, it really
It's beautiful. I mean, as painful as it was for my grandmother having to do an illegal abortion, she reveled in my birth. She adored my daughters, and my daughter gave her a gift. She named her firstborn after her. So every time things look dark, look beyond the darkness. Look beyond the darkness, because there is a bit of hope. And I didn't mean to cry, but when you brought up the baby, it suddenly occurred to me, this is that story, that arc, and I wanted to share it with your audience.
And actually, I wanted to share just a little bit of this because, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, I do think about the great wisdom and the great spirit of Native American women particularly, but Native Americans, period. And I think the amazing thing is that they have a totally different sense, if you will, like your daughter and how it plays forward. And, you know, that we tend to be raised in very, you know, religious traditions where we see a distinct creation, if you will. You know, and there we have an earth, an Eden and earth, and, you know, we are the inheritors of that earth. Well, in Native traditions, they have the sense of the Great Spirit, and that everything is the Great Spirit, is part of that Great Spirit. And so all of creation is an ongoing thing that you, if you're sitting on your horse or wherever you are, everything is part of that great spirit. And it is such a totally different tradition and sense of being, if you will. And I've really been thinking about it lately, Arnie, because, you know, with the challenges we have right now, and I tend actually to put COVID is as much with climate change as I do anything else. And it's almost
the same thing.
Yeah. And it's almost as if Mother Earth is saying, look, this is bringing you to your knees. And this is nothing compared that you will not survive. Your grandchildren will not survive if you don't, you know, instead of fighting each other, instead of spending all this money on weapons, that you realize you have got to come together as one world and actually come that great spirit and the sense of creation, if you will, into your life and, you know, try and get the carbon out of the atmosphere so everybody can live in the great harmony of creation. And you know, it just... And you know, Arnie, when I'm watching who Biden is, you know, pointing, I'm waiting to see, and I'm just hoping he won't go with Michelle Flournoy, because to me, you know, that we can't keep spending and taking the attitude that we have to have enemies, that we have to spend all this money on these weapons when our literal survival is at stake, and COVID's given right. It's given us already that, look, this is what's coming.
Right. But isn't it interesting that it turns out that we all have on this planet a common enemy? It's the pandemic and it's climate change.
Yeah.
It's not a weapon of war. It's not a tank. It's not a nuke. It's not an M16. It's this invisible thing called COVID. And this unfortunately visible thing called climate change, because we're seeing it in fires and hurricanes and melting snow caps, and I put them together absolutely. And, you know, and you're talking about the Native Americans, and I told you I was not raised with any sort of sense of that society, that culture. I never developed a curiosity. But what I did do was learn from where I was raised. And I was born, everyone, in Brooklyn, New York, Bay Ridge, where there were more Norwegians than in Oslo, Norway. My Italian mother lived on the sort of on the line between Williamsburg and where she lived, and she was what was called the Shabbos Goy. So she basically took care of all the sort of Orthodox Jews on Friday and Saturday and brought in their garbage and, you know, took out their milk and did whatever. And so my life has always been this interesting split screen. And as you were talking about Native Americans, I think about what I learned from my Jewish friends. And that was the concept of not that you go to heaven after you die, but that you make your heaven here. And if you have an obligation to make your heaven here, then you have an obligation to be good stewards of the environment. Then you have an obligation to wear a mask. Then you have an obligation to take care of the poor. Then you have an obligation to look at an economy and make sure it works for all of us, not just the 1%. And it's interesting because as you were describing what you learned as you sort of enveloped this concept of Native Americans, I go to what I learned, even though I wasn't Jewish, was that I learned about the idea of making your heaven here. And I think if you can live by those principles, then you look at the obligation to make peace and not war as actually essential.
That's just very beautiful. It really is. And you know, Arnie, on this Thanksgiving Day, I think when we do, number one, we're alive. We can certainly be thankful for that, particularly with COVID. But for everything, I think that's very beautiful. And doesn't it make sense? Native people who have been culture, you know, viable for over 40,000 years, you know, and the Jewish culture, doesn't it make sense that totally different that they would be in the same page, if you will?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why as you were saying it, my mind was racing going, I've heard this kind of story before, but not from them, you know? And so I do want to segue a little bit into what was printed today in the New York Times. And for those of you who have not read it, I beg you to read Pope Francis's op-ed entitled A Crisis Reveals What Is in Our Hearts. And what makes me smile is that, so I didn't do my show today, right? But I have two sort of previous shows that I put into the can that are my Thanksgiving Day show. Now realize this, I did this maybe Tuesday or Monday, okay? I put together the Thursday show. What is my Thursday show? My Thursday show is my fabulous weekend producer, Chloe Lacoste, who is a transgender woman, and she tells her story of finding herself and coming out. It's powerful. It's beautiful. You cry. I adore her, and I adore her even more. And so this is my first part of my Thanksgiving Day show. What's the second part of my Thanksgiving Day show? It is a professor from Marquette University who teaches Christian ethics, and it's her discussion of the third encyclical of Pope Francis and how important it is to read it. And that's today's show. And what do I pick up today in the New York Times but this incredibly powerful piece by Pope Francis? And the reason why I want you to read it is that it is the opposite of what the United States Supreme Court and the Catholics on the bench just did. In a 5-4 ruling, the United States Supreme Court sides with religious groups in a dispute over COVID-19 restrictions in New York. It is virtually the opposite of what the Pope is talking about today in the Times.
And tell us a little bit more about the third encyclical, because we'll go through that Supreme Court decision just a little bit. But first, let's hear the Pope's words. Give us a little bit more.
He talks about consumerism. That's what he talks about. He talks about capitalism and consumerism. He talks about the death penalty. I mean, all the things that he's talking about, you just sit there and going, I could have written that. It's absolutely remarkable. But you know what? What I would like to do is I have in front of me the New York Times. Can I just read a couple of sentences from Pope Francis?
No, please do. Sure.
Because it is so perfect, not only for Thanksgiving Day, it is so perfect as a response to what the Supreme Court just did. And I think it's important because we keep talking about all the Catholics on the bench. I think the Pope needs to have a private meeting with all those Catholics on the bench. But here's what he writes. This is at the very end of his piece. It's quite extensive. He writes, "Look at us now. We put on face masks to protect ourselves and others from a virus we can't see. But what about all those other unseen viruses we need to protect ourselves from? How will we deal with the hidden pandemics of the world, the pandemics of hunger and violence and climate change? If we are to come out of this crisis less selfish than when we went in, we have to let ourselves be touched by others' pain. This is a moment to dream big, to rethink our priorities, what we value, what we want, what we seek, and to commit to act in our daily life on what we have dreamed of." And then he goes on. "God asks us to dare to create something new. We cannot return to the false securities of the political and economic systems we had before the crisis. We need economies that give to all access to the fruits of creation, to the basic needs of life, to land, lodging, and labor. We need a politics that can integrate and dialogue with the poor, the excluded, and the vulnerable, that gives people a say in the decisions that affect their lives. We need to slow down, take stock, and design ways of living together on this earth." And then I'm going to flip quickly to the last paragraph. "To come out of this crisis better, we have to recover the knowledge that as a people we have a shared destination. The pandemic has reminded us that no one is saved alone. What ties us to one another is what we commonly call solidarity. Solidarity is more than acts of generosity, important as they are. It is the call to embrace the reality that we are bound by bonds of reciprocity. On this solid foundation, we can build a better, different human future."
Wow.
Pope Frank, I can't believe I'm quoting a Catholic Pope. I can't believe I'm quoting a Catholic Pope. But for all the anger I had because of the pedophilia and all the failure and all this stuff. And I was raised with a Roman Catholic grandfather. My great uncle was the Monsignor of Naples, Italy. My mother left the church. They all called her a sinner. And here I am on Thanksgiving Day 2020, and there are tears pouring down my cheeks as I'm reminding everyone about what goodness is, about what love is, about what respect is, and that we have a common destiny, but that we have to really care for one another. And I get to quote the Pope in the New York Times. Who would ever have thunk that?
Well, Arnie, it is the connections of life. I mean, it really is. I mean, if you're open to the absolute extraordinary beauty and the magic of living, you will find these juxtapositions because, you know, there is a commonality to human beings. And I think in this country, after, you know, what we've been through, and to tell you the truth, it doesn't compare to what some other countries who are war-torn, what they have been through when they've been devastated.
Syria. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, and that, to me, is a travail that is beyond comprehension. And then the borders are closed to them, when in fact, not only with the warring we've been doing, but with climate change, we have become a world of refugees. And their nations are closing their doors. No, you're not coming here. You're dangerous to us, or whatever the reason is. And you know that in a way, we have been brought to our knees, and we realize we have to change. Not only change, if we want to survive. In other words, I'm not sure we would have been brought to it if it hadn't been so dire. But really, we have. And so, in a sense, not only in this country, with a transition, but far more than just a transition from one president to the other president, that we have a new beginning. And how courageously are we going to go at that? How deeply are we going to go in, Arnie, to the changes we need to address this economic inequality, which is devastating to everybody, to address the absolute urgency of climate change, and to address the total inequality, the necessities for health care, the necessities just to have a happy, decent life, you know? I mean, these are all the questions we're facing. But it is a new beginning. It has to be, because the old totally, completely failed us in every way.
And that's what his encyclical was about. You know, and again, I go back. I'm going to go back to Pope Frank. Remember, I said that he, in his encyclical, he talks about the death penalty. Why do I even say that? Because what has Donald Trump reinstituted this summer? The federal death penalty. It had been on hiatus for 17 years, beginning with George Bush and continuing through Barack Obama. And this summer, he invited his Catholic Attorney General, Bill Barr, to start killing people. And the number of people now, that number has sped up before he leaves office. That is another example of this killer president. You know, he talked about shooting someone on Fifth Avenue. Well, the number of bodies that you can attribute to the behavior of this president is mind-blowing. Everything from COVID to the people he denied access at the border, that they were sent back to die because they came here for asylum, because they were in fear of their lives. When you look at, you know, what he's doing now with the death penalty, what you're looking at now with the fact that they're not giving us another relief bill, that is the death of business, that is the death of jobs, that frankly is going to also cause more death, because people are going to have to make these unconscionable Sophie's choice. Do I go to work during a pandemic knowing the possibility of contracting a disease, or do I go home and starve because there is no way to pay the rent, there is no way to pay the food, and when I lose my job, I lose my health care? This is Sophie's choice, and he's forcing so many millions of Americans to make that choice. But here is the Pope talking about the death penalty, and what is Donald Trump doing? But basically making sure that as he leaves, that those death penalty cases are basically resolved, not in a positive way, but in a permanent ending way.
And again, for your listeners out there, we are talking to Arnie Arneson. And actually, you can catch her on the internet every day. She has a show, The Attitude, for WHNH in New Hampshire. And Arnie, how can they listen to you on the internet? Because not only they can listen live.
I'll send you a link. My show airs at 12 o'clock we stream live from 12 to 1. We then stream live again from 7 to 8 at WNHNFM.org. But so I have to tell you something. So my biggest radio audience, everyone, I'm on the Pacifica Network. Thank you, Pacifica. Thank you, Pacifica. Because we throw it up by AudioPort, and then stations around the country that I don't even know who takes the show. I found out the other day I'm in New Mexico.
Well, good.
New Mexico. But my biggest audience is Houston, Texas. And I'm on that big station in Houston, KPFT, and I know you're familiar with that.
Marlene is.
And it's huge, right, everyone? And every once in a while now, I get a note from one of my listeners. Now, the reason why it's unusual to get a note from a listener from Houston is, what time am I on at KPFT in Houston, Texas? 5 a.m., right? Now, but remember, Houston is an enormous metropolitan area.
Oh, yeah.
5 to 6 million people. This is a 100,000-watt station. It covers an enormous footprint. And 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe for the elite, seems a bit early. But for working people, guess what? It's the time they're awake. They're either getting ready to go to work, or they're leaving the third shift, or whatever. So, you know, they're firefighters, or they're cops. So there is no morning, noon, and night. There's just an hour during which they work. So I get a lot of really interesting listeners because they're the working folks of that part of the world. And I got an email this morning from a guy who said, "You're my hero, Arnie." He said, "I started listening to you, and now I'm passionate about politics." Oh, my God. That's why I do this.
You've reawakened
him. Some guy who never thought that he was political now describes me as his hero, and now he understands why he has to care about politics.
He's reawakened.
I don't need to pay me. I just got $1 million.
Okay, well, I am going to go back because I am thinking of this is the time of new beginnings. We're not only thanking and remembering, but it is a new beginning. And I'm going back to your little new granddaughter. And yeah. I'm hoping mother and daughter are doing fine. They are, aren't they?
Phenomenally well.
Okay.
Phenomenally well. I just Skyped them this morning.
Well, and I'm putting it together again with Native American women particularly. And the most important cry, really, not only for that individual, but actually for the tribe, actually for the world, is that baby's first cry. And so Native American women will sing everything. They'll sing it in their language. And so I'm going to put a little bit of this on. And the CD player is a little recalcitrant today, so I hope it's going to play because this is in Diné or Navajo. And it is literally that first cry. And you know, that with so much of births now being, you know, in hospitals, et cetera, then, and under conditions of which kind of take it away from the real kind of living experience it really is. And actually, just for a moment, because essentially this is the women's show, I do want to talk about the situation your daughter had in China, where she had more, not really a traditional doctor, she had both aspects, and she said it was the easiest birth imaginable, and to an awful lot of women in this country, they'd say, what? Who? What? But I do want to get into that, because I think that's so important. But anyway, I'm hoping she'll play, that this will play, because this is Sharon Birch, and as I say, this is Diné, and this is the first cry, and this, of course, is in Diné, and this is where we are right now. The baby cries. The baby is crying. had this down because I want to put on one more piece from this album because I think it really is extraordinary. And this actually is Sharon Birch, and it's Touch the Sweet Earth. And this actually is the hopes that Sharon Birch will give to Keena Margaret, the trail of life. And this is really the philosophy, if you will, of the Navajo, or the Diné, as I prefer to call them, because Navajo actually was a derogatory term. And so it's used commonly, and that's how it's identified, but we'll refer to them as Diné. And she's going to sing it in Diné. But actually what she's saying, and we'll play just a little bit of it, on the trail of life, I walk in beauty. On the first trail, I walk in beauty. On the second trail, I walk in beauty. On the third trail, I walk in beauty. On the fourth trail, I walk in beauty. And in essence, that's going through the phases of life. You know, when you're a child and when you're an adolescent, you know, when you're married, you have kids, and then when you're an elder. On the trail of life, I walk in beauty. In harmony, I exist. I walk in beauty. In harmony, we exist. We all walk in beauty. I am the child of Mother Earth. I am the offspring of Father Sun. On the trail of life, I walk in beauty. In harmony, I exist. I walk in beauty. In harmony, we exist. We all walk in beauty. On the trail of life, I walk in beauty. On the trail of life, I walk in beauty.
It's beautiful.
So let's just hear a little bit of this in Diné.
Go in Nasha, na kibeti go in Nasha, ta beti go in Nasha, di beti go in Nasha, yena beti go ne jone Nasha.
Can't you see them in there counterclockwise going around the drum? Because that's the rhythm of Mother Earth. Well, I will pod this down, but anyway, I wanted those songs particularly for you and for Keena Margaret.
And it's so interesting that you talk about the first cry. So I told you she had a phenomenal birth. Let me read you the note from the doctor that delivered her, okay? Mentioned cry. Listen to this. Dear Keena, your mom had a beautiful delivery of you. Natural, calm, happy, smooth. I liked your first cry on your mom's belly, loud and happy. Wish you a wonderful life. Dr. Lou Ferguson.
That is so extraordinary. I mean, that is so beautiful.
This is like, did we plan this show?
I know. I trust you enough, Artie. I think I know you from a distance, that I know your heart. And I wanted this show to have heart. I wanted it to be life and living, you know, and hope, you know. And to me, the it was perfect, the birth of your granddaughter, you know, and everything was well. But also, because I have such respect for the ancient medical traditions of China, Asia, etc. Mm-hmm. And it's terrible that actually modern medicine doesn't understand it at all, because to me, it is energy medicine at its best. And if we want to take people into not just treating disease, because to me, medicine has hopped along on one leg with one arm when the other arm should definitely be preventing disease, so people don't get sick, so we don't have to just to treat the diseases. And if you're gonna prevent, you have got to understand something about energy and the spirit of the body and the energy of cells and all of it. And they have known about, you know, the many meridians, so to speak, which is a totally different world, for thousands of years, and they've used it. And, you know, I know just a little bit about it, and I am so amazed. And when you were telling me about that, I thought, oh, my word, that doctor obviously knows it, and she's using it. And the pain of childbirth, which forget what the religions taught you, can be a natural and not that painful of an experience. So real quickly, go through a little bit of that, because to me, we have got to open our minds to this incredible amount of knowledge. And quit treating...
Can you imagine a doctor, an OBGYN, calling the delivery natural, calm, happy, smooth? Smooth!
No.
I've never heard that word in connection with a delivery. But that's exactly what it was. And you know, my daughter's older. She's 38. She's a very large woman. She's had some real health issues. She so desperately wanted to make sure that this was as natural as possible and that she treated her body like a temple, you know what I mean? It's just so funny. And yet this doctor was, I mean, she was trained in the United States as an OBGYN, but she's also comes from this culture of China. And so she took all this knowledge, this incredible scientific precision, medically based knowledge, but she's able to bring together a remarkable blend. And I'm just going to sort of, I mean, here's the kind of good news, bad news story about this delivery. So my daughter is a very, very fine tutor. She's just amazing. But who can afford an English tutor? Very wealthy people. So she has a client, and one of her clients has five children. Now, why that should sort of make you go, huh? They just recently amended the one-child policy. How do you have a person in China with five children? Well, you know, you buy them off, okay? That's how she had five. So, but that meant that she also had to go through five deliveries. And she found this doctor with her, I think, second child. And when she heard that Melissa was about to deliver, was going to deliver a baby, she said to Melissa, there is only one doctor on this planet that I would recommend because she is the best of everything. And she has a sensibility about her. She has a medical background about her. She combines everything that I think should be the best of delivery. And Melissa went to her. And now the question is, I don't want those kinds of doctors just to be available to the very wealthy. And my daughter's not wealthy at all. It was, I think, because of this client of hers that she even probably got in the door. But that kind of physician should be cloned. What she knows is what they should all know. Because, you know, childhood is so important and deliveries are so important. And not every delivery can be quote-unquote smooth. But whatever she brought into that relationship with my daughter made a huge difference in her delivery and the child she now holds in her arms. So isn't that, it's just, again, such an interesting backstory as you get to how do you find this doctor. And you know, it wasn't an accident. It was by design.
And they understand that there are so many different rhythms of the body, but there are different centers where they combine. And so those are the areas that really, particularly with acupuncture points, et cetera. They also understand the differences in the pulses. They wouldn't just take the pulse of your wrist. They understand that, and that's all a part of it. And that's a whole area of medicine that we don't even acknowledge that it exists. And it should be the basis of medicine for everybody. And so I think that's why I'm so upset, and I can only hope with Biden that they stop looking at China as an enemy. I mean,
well, exactly. But you see, I think. How do I say this? Nobody is all good, and nobody is all bad.
Of course not.
There are things to be concerned about with China, and there are things to learn from China. That's true. I mean, I. This is a horrific movie, but it's an important movie. It's the movie called Crash. And I had a really difficult time watching this movie because it's so damn violent. But what the storyline is in Crash is that storyline. No one is all bad. No one is all good. And our job is to be able to work with the good and to figure out how to either assist them in rehabilitating the bad, understanding and being sober about that other piece of them. But I think it's just really important that as we look at China, there is so much to learn from them. There is so much to grow from them, you know. And yes, they are competition. There is no question. And yes, at some level, some perceived threat. But again, let's go back to the very beginning of our conversation. What was the conversation? The two parallel concerns. The pandemic and climate change. That doesn't just impact China. That doesn't just impact the United States. We're all on this planet together.
And
that is our commonality.
And Artie, I am looking at the clock, and I know Arlene wants to say something quickly. Arlene, go right ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to give this at the end, but I'll do it now. Support for WMNF comes from our members in the 13th annual Tampa Tour de Clay. With a new online gallery this year, 3 studios open to the public, 18 potters, the weekend of December 12th and 13th. The Chipco Creek String Band performs the 12th from 3 to 5 p.m. at San Antonio Pottery. As part of this fundraiser, there will be chances to win pottery donated by the artists. More at tampatourdeclay.com.
Okay, well, Arnie, in conclusion, thank you so much for giving us all this time today on your Thanksgiving Day. It's been a real pleasure. It always is. And so any comments you want to say?
I'm going to end with a recipe. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
So I keep thinking about it. This is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
My husband had radiation on his neck before he died.
Ooh.
And he could only swallow things like soups and liquids. He couldn't eat hot salad.
Oh.
He made a fabulous soup called Chipotle Sweet Potato Soup.
Ooh.
It is absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal. I am going to send you the recipe. I want you to post this so that your audience can look at this recipe, make this recipe, and smile.
Well, that's wonderful. And happy Thanksgiving to you and to all of our listeners. We hope you, despite the challenges, enjoy this day and enjoy this time. If you're here in Florida, as most of us are, the weather is beautiful, so get out and enjoy it.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Arnie, so much. And listen, have a happy Thanksgiving, and particularly wish your daughter and that new granddaughter a happy Thanksgiving. They've been an important part.
I will absolutely do that. And look in your email for that Chipotle sweet potato soup. Trust me, you will adore me for having sent this.
Post it on the Facebook page so we all can enjoy it. Thanks again, Arnie. You take care.
Bye-bye.
And we also heard from Pat Kemp this morning. And she has a new granddaughter, too,
Up
in Toronto.
Right, I forgot about
a few weeks ago. So happy Thanksgiving to your daughter and husband and new baby girl.
It's new life, and that's what we need in every way. So I'm going to go out with Joanne Shenandoah. We started with her. We're going to go out with her, and she's going to be singing about America. And remember, she's Haudenosaunee, or commonly referred to as Iroquois, but again, that's a derogatory term, so we're not going to use it. So let's go out. She's going to be singing about America. And you have been listening to WMNF Tampa, Sarasota, Clearwater Community Conscious Radio. This has been From a Woman's Point of View.
Stay tuned for radioactivity coming up with music today.
Come together across the land, more so than ever before. The fight never so strong. From ocean to ocean, we the people.